So just like primate mermaid?
Yes, yes.
Prime mermaid.
Mm-hmm. And the paramilitary lab people affectionately call it a fur man. This is our fur man.
The best they could do was fur man?
Yeah, and he's like, it's clever, isn't it?
No. Hey.
Hello.
What is up?
Welcome to Say Smut, a literary podcast for readers and non-readers.
Are you by chance looking for a bookish buddy? Because great news, that is Sarah, and she loves books.
Well, if you're a yapper, you came to the right place, because that's Hope, and she loves talking to me about books. Each episode, I break down the plots of some pretty wild books to Hope, who has not read them. And Hope.
Yes.
I am so excited for today because we have something completely different planned.
Wow.
Not only do I have a different kind of layout to our podcast today, but I have a book that I feel like is in a league of its own. Okay.
Okay.
And I think you're really going to love it. I think you're really going to love the cover. I think you're going to love the name of the book. I think you're going to love all the things. Okay.
Okay.
So we're going to just jump right in. Because there's really no precursor to what's about to happen.
Okay, perfect.
But I'm going to tell you right now that I am not going to tell you the name of the book until you see the cover.
Ooh.
Okay. Because it's just, I think you'll understand when you see it. And the fun thing is the listeners are already in on the joke because right. they have clicked on this episode in some right. capacity. So they've seen the title of the book.
Yes, they are living in the future to us.
And the best part of all of this is that the name of the book is never said in the book. Okay.
Awesome. That is actually just for me to know off the top so I don't have questions about it later.
Yes.
I think.
It is actually referenced numerous times as something not the title of the book. And so, like, you're going to be like, how did we come up with this? This is interesting.
I'm already thrilled.
Also, it's a little nostalgic once you see the cover, I think. I think I'm hyping this up a lot. I have a problem of hyping things up to people thinking that they're going to be just as hype as me. I think it's going to work with you this time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's even necessary. My hype level is always 1,000%.
I know. So I'm like, I think I'm doing it justice. And in my mind, this book is like a distant younger cousin to Don Juan Velociraptor.
Ooh.
Which I know is your favorite. So I will say this book is much shorter than Don Juan Velociraptor. It is only 40-some pages. It is written by Whit Slorp.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, why not?
This book is not even – it's not even addressed on StoryGraph, but on Goodreads it has a 3.0. Some content warnings. We've got sexual content, missing person, death – light mention of homophobia. I'm not going to get into it too much. And honestly, it's not a plot point. So I'm not sure why we made it a thing. It's more of like a background story.
Sure.
And then there's some questionable consent, but not with our main characters in a different situation. And I'm just going to kind of graze over it. I don't want anybody to think about it too hard because the circumstance in which it's mentioned is just different. You'll understand.
Sure.
It's
sure.
still not good. It's still not okay. But it's not the traditional, I don't want to say traditional sense, but the common sense of non-consensual that you think of.
Sure.
Okay. Okay. So just hang in there with me. Okay. So Whit Slorp, I'm going to read this from the beginning of the book because this is a book for an audience. It is for an audience, but it's for an adult audience is what I meant to say.
For an audience.
I might be running on 5 hours of sleep, so don't get on me. We were up late watching the I almost said Grammys. Oscars last night. And the worst part was I was on the phone with my mother earlier today and she said Grammys. And so I think that's why I have it in my head.
Just doomed to fail.
Okay. So reader discretion is advised. So this is from Whit. I enjoy writing stories that feature a diverse cast of individual settings and including many groups who are often left out of erotica or sexual conversations in general. As a proud member of the queer community and an allegiant feminist, I hold all gender expressions, sexualities, and fetishes in the highest esteem. I intend to continue writing a multitude of diverse characters into humorous contexts. My heart will always be in support of outliers, minorities, and the oppressed. Any use of humor is intended to parody the source literature or the erotica genre, not to disparage any sexuality, gender expression, race, neurodiversity, or particular sexual proclivities. Erotica represents a safe arena within which we can confront a vast array of unique, unrealistic, or otherwise impossible fantasies. Within the framework of fiction, we can explore an element of danger without physical risk. We can also entertain our innate curiosities, complex psychologies, and the fascinating biological sexual remnants of our evolutionary journey.
Amazing.
That is, sorry, I had not actually read that out loud a single time. And so my inability to read out loud is so high right now. But I like this. I like this little precursor. And beautiful. Wit, who I'm not sure the gender pronouns we should be using, so I'm going to use they, them. We have a very interesting story from Wit, but there are a series of stories in this group of books, but this person does so many unique eroticas, so all of those precursors don't necessarily pertain to this specific book.
Sure, it's more like an overarching message we should all take to our heart.
We absolutely should. Okay, so let us jump in. Literally. Okay, we're gonna start the scene present day at Cape Serena Lighthouse in Clam Beach, California. From what I found, Clam Beach is a real place in kind of the very northern tip area of California. So kind of Pacific Northwest, okay? Sure. But I couldn't find any information about that specific lighthouse, so let's just assume it's fictional.
Sure.
Okay, so a storm is rolling in. It is currently present day. We are going to do a flashback.
Great.
So be prepared.
I'm prepared.
Okay. So storm is rolling over the ocean and we have two men who are coming to the lighthouse. We have Dennis, who is a seasoned lighthouse keeper. I also will refer to him as Denny a couple of times. And then his childhood friend, Matthew. Okay. They both met kind of on like their childhood street back in Arizona. And then Matthew moved away and they've recently reconnected through social media. Okay.
Right.
I'm going to also say that both men discovered the other one was gay. There is no romantic relationship between these two individuals.
Sure. That's a coincidence.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you know that pretty much every person in this book is gay and there's not many people. So
good.
Excellent. How it should be. No, I'm kidding. So the two decide to go to this lighthouse. For some reason, we will never know. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, Dennis is the seasoned lighthouse professional. Matthew is just tagging along for, again, a reason we do not know. Some background that I don't know how important it is. Like I said, they're both gay and they both realize they're gay and they both have distanced themselves from their family after experiencing disapproval for their sexualities. This is not at all a part of the plot. Okay.
Sure. It's kind of character building.
Yeah, for sure. So they get to the lighthouse and Dennis kind of walks up and he realizes something's wrong, right? He sees that the door is slightly ajar and the lights are off. And that's not normal because there should be somebody in the lighthouse. Like,
right.
It seems like they don't explain this, but I'm going to assume that he's kind of worked his way up through the ranks and he's like in charge of a bunch of lighthouses.
Yeah.
He's
the manager of lighthouses.
Yeah. Yeah. They also say that because when we do the flashback, they're going to be in their mid 20s and it's 15 years ago. And so I'm assuming that he is like 40 something now.
Sure.
Okay. Okay. So I'm assuming he's just checking up on this lighthouse. Again, we have no indication of why they are going to the lighthouse in the first place, but they find that it is empty. They kind of think that this is odd. They're kind of investigating the area. They realize that the light bulb didn't break it didn't burn out and it didn't get switched off. It's actually completely broken, shattered all over the floor.
How will the ships find their way?
But sorry, I mean like the light in just like the basement of the lighthouse. It's the main one.
Oh, okay. The lighthouse works fine.
Yes, I think. Again, I'm going to also emphasize right now that the spelling and there are multiple features of this book that weren't edited. That there's a lot of misspellings, a lot of punctuation errors, and not a lot of context. So we can just assume, okay? But from what I gathered, it's just like the general basement area that you walk into that has the light out.
Sure.
And they said that's kind of weird because whatever busted the light had to have been at least 7 feet tall to reach the light.
Yeah, okay? We're assuming it like hit a head or something on the light.
Yeah, but the light is like at least 7 feet above the ground. So like how would that happen, right?
Right.
And as they're kind of investigating the lighthouse, they realize that the storm is coming in faster than they expected. So like they're probably going to have to stake out the night there. And Matthew notices what could be considered a small dust bunny, and he kind of shows it to Dennis, and Dennis is like, huh, that's weird. Like, that's not really things that show up here. I don't know why. I don't know why we're like, this is a dust bunny free zone, but allegedly it is. No
dust
bunnies
allowed in. Dust bunnies hate lighthouses. Everyone knows that.
So meanwhile, Dennis has been flipping through the housekeeper's log, because every housekeeper keeps a log, a little diary, okay? Mm-hmm. And suddenly he goes still and he says, it's happened again.
Oh no.
And Matthew says, what's happened again? And after Denny kind of goes catatonic for a second, Matthew screams, Denny, you're scaring me. Tell me what's going on. And Dennis says, I guess now is as good a time as any. For what? Matthew asks. To open a can of worms.
Sure.
Fade to black. Okay.
Flashback time?
Yes. Okay. Great. If you haven't caught on now, we are going to have a little bit of like a mystery, erotic, thriller, horror. Okay. Sure. For today. And that's an area that we really haven't touched much of. Other than like maybe our fall spooky vibes.
I was going to say those can kind of be scary.
But this is like a mystery.
Yeah. This okay? is a little more mysterious than like Halloween spooky.
So we're going to travel back 15 years. Dennis is in his mid-20s and working at this exact lighthouse with his bestie, Robert. Okay.
Okay. Forget about Matthew. We're hanging
Matthew
out with
Matthew is such
Robert.
A side character. It doesn't even matter. Okay. He's just another gay man in the crew. Okay. Robert is more than a best friend. Okay. They actually met when they're teenagers. So again, we're going to, I think they were in college maybe. I don't know. But just another childhood friend. They're all childhood friends. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody is a childhood friend. And they actually decided they wanted to work at the lighthouse together. And so they submitted their applications together. Thought it'd be really fun. Dennis is full throttle in love with Robert.
Right.
Robert is unclear on his sexuality. We think he might be bisexual because he's apparently still screwing around with girls, which makes Denny jealous.
Sure.
But let's make it very clear that Robert and Denny are fucking.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
They are fucking in this lighthouse.
I caught a vibe.
No, there's such a vibe within this first paragraph of me explaining the situation. Mm-hmm. And look, if I was, you know, if I was to see anybody, you know, hand in an application to work at a lighthouse with their best friend, I would also assume that they're fucking, you know.
I don't think I would assume that they were.
What are you doing out there? What are you doing out there all alone?
Sarah, we are two best friends who have worked together.
But what not alone in a lighthouse, just us two. No, you're telling me that there would be no chemistry between us in a lighthouse?
I just feel like I wouldn't necessarily on the jump assume they were going to have sex in the lighthouse.
Okay, but think about how lonely that nature is, Right.
I don't know that I knew that a lighthouse life was particularly lonely.
Okay, but I have read so many books with lighthouses, and every single time the person who lives there is lonely because they have to be there all the time.
Okay.
And they pretty much are a shut away.
I'll take your word for it.
Me and Denny, we're just the lighthouse experts. So, like, you just have to take our word for it, please. Anyway, he's like, I'm pretty sure half the world knows we're up here fucking. Denny is thinking this. He's like, I'm pretty sure our boss who owns the lighthouse thinks we're fucking. Like,
is it because we keep fucking in front of the light and it's casting inappropriate shadows for all to see? Maybe.
That would be actually very fun.
Oops.
But he's like, you know, I think Robert is not as secure in his sexuality yet. Like, he very much is. We'll kind of get into this, but like, they are fucking around and having fun, but they're still best friends. Like, sure. Like, it's like that old idea of like, no homo, right? like, we just have sex. Like,
oh, false. Specifically homo.
But that's Robert's vibe, right? Is he's like, yeah, we do. But like, and like, at one point they're sitting on the little, I don't know, the balcony area of the lighthouse, like, sure. Up top.
Yeah, I can envision what you mean.
And Denny, like, takes Robert's hand in a moment to, like, assure him of something. And Robert gets weird about it. And he's like, well, I don't want anyone to see. And he's like, who's going to see up here? Like, you can just tell that, you know, Robert is kind of caught up in, like, his religious guilt as a child, mm-hmm. his feelings from his parents, obviously not approving of a queer relationship. And so anyway, he's just got a lot of funky feelings going on, which many people do.
Sure.
Okay. So, sorry, I've lost my place. Give me 1 second. Because I went on a tangent about Robert's sexuality.
Well, it's important. There's so much character building for a 40-page book.
It is. So a storm is coming this night, okay? This yes. 15 years ago night. And
oh, war storm.
Another storm. And Robert is low-key nervous about it because not too long ago, they had another storm that was really, really nasty. Like, broken windows, flooding, like we're, what do they say, barreling down the hatches? Is that what they say? Anyway, so they're doing that. They're doing all the swashbuckling, you know, like, we're gonna really stick it out here in the middle of this storm that's right next to the sea. And like, I don't know, I think that would be scary. I think the sea is just scary, period.
Sure.
But this is now that a new storm is coming, it kind of is freaking out Robert. And so Denny is like, you know what, I'm gonna do everything I can to keep him calm and like make him feel comfortable. So they decide to go downstairs and play some cards and listen to the radio for updates. And while they're setting things up, Dennis finds a tape that Robert had made him that includes a bunch of songs that they like, including their song.
Mixtape. I love a mixtape.
I do love a mixtape. Which in this repertoire of songs is their song, which is called the Siren Song. Okay.
Of course.
And so they start playing the song and then they head to the bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I imagined it was sexy the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Nothing is crazy about this sex scene. Okay. I'm going to say it was actually very romantic and a little emotional. And you can tell that Robert has deep feelings for Denny, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he might yes. put up a front that like, hey, we're just fucking around. But like in the moment, it is very emotional for them.
Yeah, it's getting a little serious.
So they have some missionary butt sex, as you do, you know?
The romantic kind.
Yes. And here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say. And I'll say it once. I probably won't, but I'll say it again. And I won't remember that I said it. We can fetishize queer relationships and it can be fun to make things sexy and fun, but it's mm-hmm. also important to remember that it can be romantic. And I have had this discussion with numerous people because we watched, a conversation came particularly after Red, White and Royal Blue, which was written by Casey McQuistion, who wrote One Last Stop.
Yeah.
About how the sex scenes in Red, White and Royal Blue, even though there was a lot of sexual tension and a lot of fun buildup, when it actually came time, it was like very emotional and we need to allow space for those emotional queer scenes.
Yeah.
And I wish we had more of that because a lot of times those scenes are being written by straight folks.
Yeah, and just the exact opposite of the person being portrayed.
Yes, and this may be a shocker, but queer people also have emotional relationships. So
what?
I know, crazy. So I thought that this was actually very fun and beautiful to see. Like at one point, I can't remember if it was Denny or Robert calls the other one baby in the middle of the moment. And it was like,
aww.
Oh, and they had never said it before. They had never used a pet name, kind of a term of endearment like that before. So it was, I was surprised like how sweet it was. Like,
that's so nice.
Okay. So they get done wrecking each other, right? Okay. Right after me being like, it was so emotional.
At least the second time where you've said a really, really nice, heartwarming thing about it and then immediately followed it up with like the most blunt explanation of the sexual thing that these people were doing.
Yes. Well, you know, he does finish the scene by saying they were spent. I always like when people say that spent. At the end of sex. It's just like, they were spent. They gave it their all. So after their dalliance, they notice that there's some weird stuff happening in the water. Like, oh, weird. The buoys are gone that had like LED lights on them to kind of in the dark help guide people away from the cliffs of the lighthouse.
That's not good.
And they were like, okay, we're going to call that in, but the storm's already starting. Like, we can't really do anything about it.
Yeah.
And hopefully no one's trying to come in during the storm and we'll just kind of ignore it. So like weird little things are happening. And so they also like go up to the railing of the balcony again. And again, they like just keep on kind of like flitting around the lighthouse. Like they're like, we're going to go downstairs. We're going to go to the bedroom.
Funny because I don't. I mean, I guess I don't think I've ever been inside a lighthouse to have a scale, but in my head, there's only so many places within one that you can really be.
That is absolutely true. And then, so they're looking over the railing of the balcony and Denny decides to head inside for a moment and Robert hears something. It's like a distant song and he starts feeling
a siren song.
And he starts feeling a little woozy and then a lot of things happen at once. He's like, okay, I'm going to get up. And so he gets up and his legs kind of feel like jelly and he stumbles around a bit. And then in a flash, he is over the side of the railing, hovering midair, staring back at the lighthouse. And he is confused. He feels like he's tripping. And then he starts hearing somebody being like, wake up, wake up. And then he opens his eyes again and Denny has found him passed out over the railing, like he's hunched over the railing.
Oh, frightening.
And they're like, that was crazy. He must be not feeling very well. Let's just get him inside, get him some water.
I sometimes float away when I'm not feeling well as well.
Little do they know they took edibles right before.
At my sickest, I am often floating.
Yeah.
Way away from where I was before.
And so Denny gets Robert some water and they're looking out over the storm. They're now in a different like level of the lighthouse that like is inside, but it has windows out.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're looking out. And they see this, sorry, let me back up a second. So they are having the water and then Denny spots something that jumps out of the water. It's like a massive marlin with a huge tail. And they're like, that's crazy. Like
what a big fish.
Why is that fish, big fish, so close to like the rocks? And like, maybe it's just some weird animal storm shit because animals do weird shit during storms, as we all know.
Everyone knows that.
Mm-hmm. Or you're just Ruthie and you just do weird shit 24/7.
She does weird stuff all the time. But like, don't like cows and horses do weird shit before it storms? Like,
yes. No, cats are weird before. Like, inside. I think most dogs are kind of weird before storms.
Ruthie just doesn't like them. So she's just upset the whole time.
So in this little watch room that they're in, they decide they're going to play some gin. And they see this crazy flash of lightning. And they they're like, wow, that was really close. And so they wait a couple seconds. Did you ever do like the one Mississippi, two Mississippi.
To count how long until you heard the thunder? Yeah.
Yeah. So they are doing that. And then they're like, it's not coming. They're like, that's kind of weird. They're like, maybe it was further away than we realized. And instead they hear a splash.
Oh.
And then they hear a few thumps. Thump, thump, thump.
Hmm.
And then they spot something on the rocks below. And they're like, that's a crazy big seal. That's so weird. And then the seal just, or whatever they see, kind of slithers back into the ocean. I don't know. Slither might not be the right
word. Bye, seal.
Back into the ocean. So Denny decides to go check the Clockworks and Wicks, whatever that means. Sounds like some serious lighthouse shit.
Gotta check it out.
And while he's gone, Robert starts hearing that noise again. It's like that song. And like before he can really think too hard about it, all goes black.
Oh no. I hope he doesn't float again.
Well, then Denny returns and he finds Robert out cold, like head on the table. And he's like, oh, poor guy. I wrecked him.
We were so busy. And also we've gone up and down and in and out of every room in this lighthouse multiple times.
He's exhausted. Not only have we gone to town, but he works hard. He works hard for the money, you know? So he's like, oh, poor guy. He's just like probably really, really tired. And then so Denny like goes to help Robert, but then he starts kind of getting lightheaded and he's like, oh, I don't feel very good. And he like goes to sit down in his chair and then passes out. Okay. When Denny wakes up, Robert gone.
Oh no.
All that's left is a long trail of water from the chair that he had been sitting in.
Bum, bum, bum.
At this time, will you please tell us about our possible mystery things that could be involved in this story?
Yeah. Welcome to Who's That Splish Blasting Around the Puget Sound Mythical Creatures of the Pacific Northwest.
That one lost me. I liked it at the beginning. It lost me.
I will not tolerate the faces you make at me when I say these. No. I work so hard.
Sometimes you add descriptors I don't expect to hear in there. Like splish splash. I was like, okay. And then you added the word putrid.
No, the Puget Sound is a body of water.
I thought I heard putrid and I was like, interesting choice. Didn't know you felt that strongly about it, but okay.
How dare you? You haven't even met these creatures yet.
How dare I judge so quickly? I'm so sorry. I'll keep our open mind. Okay.
Anyway, there are so many cryptids that just chill out in the Pacific Northwest, in water and out of water. Thankfully, Sarah, let me zero down my research so that we're focused on water type cryptids. And even that is a pretty long list of different types of things. So, yeah. First things first, I'm going to probably mispronounce like everything. Pretty much That's everything fine. In this research. There's a lot of names happening.
We're not experts.
I'm white, and that's kind of a limiting problem. I'm going to do my very best, and I'm already really sorry about it. But there's a ton of water related cryptids that you can find generally in the Pacific Northwest, and will one of these be in our book? I don't know. I'm going to start describing them to you, and I guess we'll just find out after the fact.
Deductive reasoning. Yes.
So first we observe Caddy themselves, Cadborosaurus. Down in the Puget Sound swims Caddy, who is a confusion combination of a horse or camel-like head with a long snake-like body and flippers and humps.
Shut the fuck up.
No, I will not. And Caddy is like 150 feet long. Yeah, I know.
Oh my God. And it's got a horse-like head?
So in the description, first of all, let me backtrack and thank all of my sources because I'm about to reference one anyway. Thank you to Lauren Gurgis of the Seattle Times and Owen Adams with the Cardinal Times. And I also got a lot of interesting information on the Pine Barrens Institute. But all of the sources are like, there's a couple that are newspapers and a lot of these are like cryptid websites. So
yes,
take that as you will. Anyway, our friend Caddy, the Seattle Times article that I looked at included a really great illustration of him. And I would say that in the illustration, Caddy has more of like a walrus face with tusks.
Okay.
And then a long kind of serpent body. And it didn't look as horrifying as conceptually I think a camel head or horse head on a snake would sound.
Okay.
But common theme in a lot of these are going to be like big, long snake-like bodies. Yes. I would just kind of say outright. But according to Lauren Gurgis with the Seattle Times, people who have seen Caddy say that he doesn't do a whole lot outside of rising out of the water, glaring at people on their boats, and then sinking back under the water, which is very funny. Just kind of like here to give you the stink eye and leave.
That is so rude. Just to be like,
is it?
Or what is are Caddy, you like, doing here?
Not being in my water.
That's fair.
I have eyes
passing.
Cabby was first seen in 1933, although Gurgis noted that encounters with the creature may also have been depicted in wooden spear throwers made by indigenous people in the area. So like there are these tools that they are called atlatls, and they are used to help throw a spear forward, and they're carved out of wood. And so there are versions of these that have been found that have like serpent-like creatures with like, you know, head, not quite serpent-y heads, and they think it might be the same creature.
Okay.
So that's cool. A lot of these creatures have like background from native communities in that area, which is pretty sick. So that's Cabby. I prefer to view him like the Seattle Times article, so I'm going to go with like more of a walrus head, tusk face, serpentine body. But if you prefer a horse or camel like head, that's fine too. If Cabby is not your style, that's fine, because we can go to the Walloa Lake Monster, who is another serpent type thing, but Wally has more of a hippo like head with his snake like body.
Okay.
So similar but different, different body of water, similar snake like body. A variety of different lengths for Wally, which is funny because there have been a bunch of sightings of this creature and not a lot of consistency on the appearance of this creature. But it's fine. The original lore is that, according to legend from the Nez Perce tribe, Wally ate the daughter of a Nez Perce chief and the son of a Blackfeet chief who had just been married to join these two tribes together. There's varying accounts on what happened here. Some people say that they were like already married, or they were maybe about to be married, or maybe they were running away together, but either way, they were on a canoe out in the water, and a lot of people from both tribes were there, and Wally like knocked their canoe out of the water and consumed them, which is rude. And then the Black Chief, or the Blackfeet Chief, was like, I think maybe this is a sign from Great Spirits that our tribes should not be joined together. And then they immediately dissolved the treaty they had just had due to the marriage that is or did happen.
I'm so glad you said that, because immediately I was like, is this kind of an omen? Is this kind of a sign?
And we're like, oh no. A prospector reportedly saw Wally in 1885 while rowing a boat on the lake. A couple described saw what they described as a great fish of more than 15 feet in length out in 1932 while out on the water. In the 40s, a young boy saw him. And in the 50s, another married couple saw two crazy creatures eating fish that they thought could be like maybe two Wallys or Wally adjacent. And even in 1982, so many couples are just at this lake.
Wally.
And they're always seeing Wally. Another couple saw Wally creating waves just on the northeast side of the lake. So, we don't know how.
Is that a sign your relationship is not going to last, though, now? If he's like the couple's, you know, mythological creature, and he's appearing in front of these couples after the first incident, you know?
You decide.
Well, okay, here's my follow-up question.
It seems foreboding a little bit.
Remind me where this lake is that people see him. Like, so, what state is it in, do you know?
This is up in the Puget Sound.
Okay.
In the Pacific Northwest. So, like, more Washington.
Okay.
Washington state, I mean.
Mm-hmm. That's a lake. That's not necessarily the ocean. So, maybe not our character. Maybe not our main man.
No, but they connect.
I guess he could swim out if he wanted to.
Yeah, there's ocean connection out. So possibly, yes. So that's Wally. A bonus about Wallowa Lake, where Wally is from, is that also just really, really, really big crabs live there. Like cryptid-sized crabs. I didn't go too deep into it because there wasn't a lot of info, but there was like, also huge crabs. And I said, sure, why not? Yeah, your hand is raised. I don't know if I have the answers for you.
What if those huge, huge crabs are the same crab-like aliens from Alien Mannequin?
Bitch, they might be.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go back to the episode of Alien Mannequin, our main male character. If he is, I think he's masculine. I think that's what we identified him as. He is an alien creature that essentially is a giant crustacean. And I'm just saying,
That's good for someone.
There are only so many coincidences in the world. So
just something to think about.
I'm just saying. Okay, so we've got, remind me the first name.
We've got Caddy.
Caddy.
And we've got
Wally. Got it.
Wally. And they're like kind of same body type, different heads.
Different heads. Got it.
If you're interested in a little more creature diversity, we can try the Tacoma Narrows octopus on for size, which is just a really, 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 really big octopus. It's a really big octopus that lives in the Tacoma Narrows Strait. So a fun fact, though, is that like the giant Pacific octopus as a species live in the Puget Sound. But legends tell of this like 600-pound king octopus that specifically lives under Narrows Bridge. And so that's like the Tacoma Narrows octopus. So it's confusing because there are actually octopi there and they're big, but there's like one that's super big and
they're like, no.
That's like the cryptid
one. It's even bigger than this one.
Yes.
What do you think the hierarchy of octopi are?
I mean, the 600-pound king octopus, I assume, comes first.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, is it a monarchy? Do you think it's like a democracy?
I'm going to say, based on the fact that there's a king octopus, it's probably a monarchy. But I am not that familiar with the
You have to be born. It has to be like divine intervention or divine.
God came down and said, this like, octopus is in charge.
Shall be giant. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, big and in charge. A fun fact is that the NHL team, the Seattle Krakens, which is new to the league. Why are you laughing? This is all related.
No, I love this. I love that we went that far. We just skirted and we were like, yeah, we're going to talk about the NHL.
No, it's related. This is a fun fact about the Tacoma Narrows octopus. The Seattle Kraken drew inspiration for its team from a mix of folklore around like actual Krakens. Like actual Krakens. Mm-hmm. And then also the giant Pacific octopus that you can find at the Puget Sound. So it's tied in there.
That's nice. That's a nice little nod.
Mm-hmm. If you didn't like a really, really big octopus, I would love to introduce you to a really, really big squid type monster in Devil's Lake, known as either the Devil's Lake Monster or Mediwakan, which is originated from the Nakota Sioux. And according to Owen Adams with the Cardinal Times, this is a big old squid friend who likes to destroy some ships.
Look, they all have their areas of interest. You mm-hmm. know, some of them just pop out and judge. Others eat couples. And then others are like, ships are my thing, you know?
Some like to drown people. Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you about that. Yeah. But I like that everybody just kind of has their own little lane. Yeah.
They're like, stay in your lane. Stick with the ships. I've got my own thing.
Allegedly, the Devil's Lake Monster was found in 1950 and was very hairy, which confused people. And I don't have any more information about that. That's just a thing that was in one of the articles I read.
Interesting. Okay.
Anyway, we've got two more to go. So we'll start to wrap this up. But first, we're going to dive into a little more fantasy for our cryptid. We've been going a little like slithery snake. We've been going just kind of oversized sea creatures. And now we're going to pop into more dragon fantasy with the Lake Chelan dragon.
Say it one more time.
I want to, but I'm probably not pronouncing it right, which is why I was hoping you wouldn't ask. The Lake Chelan dragon.
It sounds fancy, though. I like this name.
Well, it might not be pronounced right, so it might not be fancy at all. First of all, the lake in question is 1,500 feet deep, so all kinds of crazy stuff probably lives in there. No. It's a super, super, super deep lake. Secondly, this creature in particular, for description, has essentially an entire alligator's body with the head of a snake. And some wings.
You know, I
pretty
could
fun.
See, you know, we were doing the reptile thing.
Yeah.
And I could see where we were going with it. And then we added some wings. And I have to ask, I assume that they are more like bat wings, but could they kind of be?
They're not feathered.
Okay. Because I was like, wouldn't it be wild if they were feathered?
That would be crazy. That would be confusing because this is a water dwelling creature.
Yes. But who knows?
According to like indigenous legend, this beast lives in underwater caves of that lake. White people reported stories about a beast related to the Loch Ness Monster in 1812. And again in 1892, which is like this beast, but that made it more related to the Loch Ness Monster. And basically, if he finds you, he's just going to snatch you. She's just going to snatch you.
Don't leave your kids unattended.
He's going to take you. Last but not least is a very fantastical creature whose name I am probably about to butcher. And they are the Amhuluk.
No, I think you did a really good job. Until we get corrected, I think that sounded awesome.
Great. Legend of this creature originates with the Kalapuya First Nations people. This creature is like kind of like Chinese dragon-y almost in body with big Maleficent style horns that have spots on them and like sort of a it looked fuzzy, but since it's a water creature, I'm going to guess it's more mossy, like mossy, fuzzy, spotted body, but specifically hairless arms and legs and a more classic dragon look. And also sometimes things tied to their arm and tail. I didn't look into it, but it looked pretty cute in the pictures I saw.
That does sound cute.
Yes. So this friend loves to drown stuff. Drowning is fun.
You do.
And this creature was referenced in Godzilla comics, but didn't really look as dragony and was portrayed more to be like a tree and underwater creature, but also had some tentacles kind of thing. But it's named after this creature and like tangentially.
Interesting.
And that's pretty much it. There's a lot of diversity in water cryptids. Some be snake-like, some be alligators with snake heads and wings. Some just be really big octopus. I love that.
I loved this. I felt like I was on a dating show that I could pick like Bachelor number 3 after hearing about them. I will say this is maybe one of my favorite researches by you. This was very entertaining. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the history, the sightings. I enjoyed the descriptions. And I will say that there are ones that extremely match.
Good.
We might.
That's really exciting. My favorite part of this research, unfortunately, had to be cut out because it was not water cryptid related. But the first of the cryptids that I found the most referenced was Bigfoot. And then a second one I found after that was called Bat Squash, which is like Sasquatch, but bat-like features, like with wings and kind of more of a bat face.
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you right now. I'll give you a morsel of hope. Okay.
A morsel.
Based on things you have said in this conversation, don't let go of that hope. Okay.
I'll never let go, Jack. I'll never let go.
Don't. Okay. Thank you so much for that research. I think it was one of my favorites. Mark that for the end of the year when we come back to this. I think some of those sounded great, and I would want to be friends with them, you know?
my favorite is the Cadborosaurus, because it's just funny that he pops out of the water, glares at you, and then kind of goes back down and leaves.
It reminds me, because we just watched the Oscars last night, what's his name, was just giving the judgmental look.
John Lithgow.
Yeah. He was just like, if you speak too long on your
speeches. Yeah, he's not mad.
He's just disappointed. okay, so we're jumping back in, but now we're going to go to present day.
Okay, flash forward.
Yeah, like do the little, what's the sound of like a VCR like going forward?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I can't really replicate that with my
mouth. No, I'm not going to.
But I heard it in my heart.
Thank you. So Denny is telling this story to Matthew and explains that, you know, he tried to go offer like after this trail, but it was so rainy out that obviously the trail kind of got washed away.
It just became all wet everywhere.
All wet. But he did. This is the point in the story where you start being like, this is a 40-page book. We don't have to have explanations. We just got to keep the story moving. You know what I mean?
I'm ready. I'm so excited.
But, you know, it is kind of odd because he did see something slither into the water that looked like a giant fish holding a person. A hairy fish.
It probably was not.
No, couldn't be my missing friend.
I understand that my missing love friend I'm trying to find frantically. And also separate of that, I do see a slithering hairy creature with what looks like a person. And I'm sure that those are two completely unrelated events.
Well, and then he says, you know, he kind of had like wet gorilla fur and a really long head. Uh-huh. But I'm sure it was like nothing, you know, I don't even really know what I saw, you know,
it was rainy.
So Denny did do a missing persons report, but didn't tell the police anything about what he saw.
Okay. Well, who's going to believe him?
No, for sure. So he claimed, you know, he was like, I don't even really know what I saw. And I was like, well, that's very descriptive for remembering 15 years ago that something hairy with a long head and fur, gorilla fur, slithering into the ocean with what looked like to be a human in his arms, or her arms, or their arms.
Their arms.
Yes. Okay. But he did find a big red scale left behind, and he gave it to police, and police sent a bunch of like very men in black suits, like to his lighthouse to question him. And the moment Denny's like, should I get a lawyer? The suits were like, no, we got enough information. We're out of here. And then they leave.
Okay. I get a lawyer.
Yeah. And you know, that was that. He didn't really, nothing happened after that. So it turns out the current lighthouse keeper was also hearing weird songs, like the one that Robert must have heard, which I'm not really sure how Dennis knew about. I guess, yeah, Dennis had the song too, but I guess he doesn't know that Robert heard the song because they never talked about it.
Right. I am interested to know if this new lighthouse keeper has been floating as much as Robert has been.
Maybe he's not as buoyant, you know?
Hard to say.
Yeah. But in the journal, he had written about how he heard these things. Okay. Oh. So when he was flipping through the journal earlier, that's what he saw. And he was like, I'm ready to open a can of worms. Okay. So then we call up the police station because we've got to report this missing lighthouse keeper. And who comes out but Chief Benton, who I think he helped out with the case 15 years ago.
We know him.
I think we know him. And Chief Benton kind of gaslights the shit out of Denny and is like, nah, that doesn't sound crazy. We got a mermaid sighting last week. It's all normal. Ha ha, you dumbass. And then like, it's just like, and Denny's like, I know, it probably sounds crazy. It's the whole thing is just like, And like, yeah, Chief Benton's like, yeah, no worries. We'll take it from here. It's not a big deal. And then like, they leave. Okay. Also, as he's reliving all these memories, Denny admits how painful it is to think about Robert and how much he wishes he knew what happened to him and how much he misses him. And even it was so hard that he had to leave his lighthouse job and like moved down the coast and like took another job. I don't know.
Yeah. At a different lighthouse.
It's hard.
He's been moving lighthouse to lighthouse ever since.
Yes, he has. He's a man on the run to lighthouses. He's just running from his past from lighthouse to lighthouse. Okay, so after the police leave, Matthew is like, what can I do for you? I'm here for you, my man. What do you need? And Denny's like, well, I would really appreciate your company as I go on this mission to look in the caves.
Oh, the caves?
I guess there are caves.
Okay.
So he's talking about caves that are below the lighthouse, and they decide to head down there. I'm not really sure where we're at in the storm of things. I guess the storm must have passed by now because we don't really address the current storm that had them, you know, hunkering down in the lighthouse to do story time, but it happened. And now they are going down into those caves. And Denny's like, yeah, I used to come down here all the time and smoke weed as a kid. I used to be down here all the time. And you're going to realize shortly why that's a problem and why you're like, you really didn't see anything like when you were a kid down here.
You hung out in these caves?
Because as soon as they walk in, they see something on the ground that's white and long. Surprise, it's a human femur. Then they walk a little farther and they find more polished human bones. And they're like, ooh, this is spooky, weird. What's going on? And then they keep going.
You know, how we'd all react to seeing a whole human femur in a cave.
Yeah.
That's, and now so they spooky. Just,
and all of these are like polished off, right? Like they are like bright, shining, white.
I will say, you would be surprised at how white bone is when comes out of you.
But I'm saying, like, these are polished. Like, they must have, like, nom, nom, nommed pretty hard on those. Like, you know when
there's
people
not, like, meat left.
Yes. Like, there are different people who eat, like, chicken wings, and some of them are, like, cleaned off to the bone, you know?
Sure.
And that's what I'm picturing. But a human femur. And anyway, so they go through this tunnel and they find they naturally would in this cave, which is a cage, assumably for humans, because it's kind of human sized. So they're like, this must be to capture humans.
Right. Naturally.
Nothing else. Yeah. And so as they're also freaking out, Denny finds Robert's class ring. And then Matthew gaslights the shit out of him after all of this and is like, well, didn't you guys come down here and smoke weed as kids? And he's like, what?
That wasn't the story I told you about these caves.
And he's like, but why would he take off his class ring? He must have been eaten down here. What are you talking about? Like, I don't know. There are just so many jumps to conclusions.
There is a human femur nearby. Yes. So I guess it wouldn't be like, isn't this just where you smoked some weed as a kid?
Yeah. This isn't, why would you think anything bad happened down here?
What about the human bones in the cave makes you think that maybe something bad has happened?
Or of a massive ass cage in the corner that was clearly meant to hold someone hostage. Okay, so they start hearing like this mechanical noise and they're like, what is that? And suddenly a SWAT team led by Chief Benton swarms the cave. And before they can ask any questions or notice anything about the scenario, Matthew and Denny get stabbed with needles and both of them pass out.
Wow. Okay. That was a turn I wasn't expecting. We have not even gotten really to an encounter with a cryptid yet.
Don't worry. We're almost there. So when they wake up, they're in a tiled white lab. Okay. Sure. But they're in like cells, like jail cells in the lab. Mm-hmm. And who comes out but Chief Benton to explain the entire plot of what's happening.
I was hoping someone would.
Because we're probably 30 pages into the book by now, and we only got 10 pages to
I was going to say, we are 50 minutes into this podcast, and I can't even begin to guess what
happened. Don't worry, I will tell you. Okay, so turns out he's not chief of police. His name's not even Benton. He's actually paramilitary for a top secret operation. And he confirms that, yeah, the lighthouse keepers are gone. What do you mean they're gone? No, they're like dead, like super dead. And he unveils to them a huge tank. And inside that tank appears to be a large fish swimming around. And it has the upper body of a primate and a large red fish tail.
So just like primate mermaid?
Yes, yes.
Prime mermaid.
Mm-hmm. And the paramilitary lab people affectionately call it a fur man. This is our fur man.
The best they could do was fur man?
Yeah. And he's like, it's clever, isn't it?
No, it's not clever.
No. So here's the scenario. And all of this kind of comes out as like word vomit and not very organized. So I tried to organize the facts as best as I could for you. Okay. Mm-hmm. So a few years ago, a bunch of the lighthouse like neighbors were reporting seeing these guys splashing around in the ocean, and they were like reporting it to police, and police were like, yeah, sure, okay, let me know when you're off the drugs, hang up. And it took a police officer to see it with his own eyes to then like report it to the higher powers that be in our law enforcement system, which who even fucking knows. But it makes it up to this paramilitary group that was like, meh, we think you're all on drugs, but we'll go out there and see if this is actually a thing. And they came out and they found these fantastical hairy creatures.
Mm-hmm.
His words, not mine.
You know, the fur man.
Yeah, the fur man. So apparently below the lighthouse is a system of caves housing these creatures.
Oh, interesting.
So that's why I'm also sitting here like, you went down there and smoked weed on the regular and you never came across one of these motherfuckers?
Not a single fur-man encounter the whole time?
And it took you like 5 steps to find a femur? Okay, I'm not really sure how we got here, but okay. So the paramilitary comes down and like, grabs up one of these creatures and brought it in for testing. And Denny interrupts this whole story to be like, I don't really give a fuck. Where is my friend Robert? Is he dead or alive? And I'm thinking to myself, the man just told you that all the missing motherfuckers are
dead.
Super dead.
I'm pretty sure he's super dead.
And Benton's like, oh, don't worry. He's alive.
Oh, never mind.
And he's closer than you think. And you know what I thought
in
this moment?
Weird thing to say.
I thought, Benton, you're him. But then I was like, no, that doesn't
off
make sense.
A fake face to reveal that he was Robert the whole time.
Yeah, it's like a prosthetic. It just like comes off. It turns out he's in the tank. That's Robert. They reverse engineered the hybrid, and when they found Robert imprisoned in that cage in the caves, they brought him back and they were like, you know what? He's already like really fucked up emotionally and mentally. Let's just make him into a fur man.
Interesting.
What, you know, what's the worst that could
happen? I have a fur man related question. Yes, have we
gotten... I don't know if I'll have an answer.
That's okay. That's okay. Is there any sort of description of like, is the face of fur man like an ape?
I'm gonna look at the cover.
A
little bit.
What sort of head are we working with here?
An egg head.
An egg head.
It's egg shaped.
But it's not not like chimpanzee forward.
I mean, yeah, it's a primate.
Okay, this is gonna be a tough one for me to draw.
I don't know. And you better do it before we look at the cover because I'm not accepting any cheating. Okay, so in case you were wondering, the fur man are under this is just such a stupid fact we threw into this. And I say stupid in an endearing way, okay? This is where the non-consensual stuff that I'm like, I don't even know how to process that, okay? So Benton, who is not Benton, tells our duo of men that fur men are either under the assumption that they can procreate with humans or they just really like to butt fuck, okay?
Because
when they capture a human, their butts... free game. And it sounds like
the human butts or the fur man butts. Okay.
And it sounds like when they captured, this was kind of unclear. I don't know when they captured our homeboy Robert because he was like, we know this because Robert's butt was so fucked. And I was like, okay, but what if that was, what if that was Jenny's doing?
It was most certainly the Furman.
So I'm kind of like, I don't know. Cause I'm like, okay, if he was like, if Robert was in that cage for a prolonged period of time, his butt probably would have recovered.
I would think so.
So if there was actually fucking happening, then okay. But like, I'm also sitting here like, okay, was this within like 24 hours, that you rescued him?
I have a question for clarification. It's okay if you don't have the answer to this.
Am I supposed to believe
that this creature has like genitalia, but also then a bottom half that's a fish?
We will get into that in a second.
Okay, cool. Okay. Don't worry about it. I'm getting ahead of myself.
You are getting ahead of yourself. So they're like, again, whatever that fucking comment was, I really don't even know what to do with that information. But they also are like, we've totally accept the fact that we're not going to keep these creatures like from the public forever, right? The public will eventually find out about these beings, these fur men. But what we're hoping to do is to turn them into military weapons because they're super strong and they can swim really fast, which goes well in every single movie you've ever seen about the government trying to manipulate something into a superhuman weapon.
In enslaving a race of creatures for its own gain has always gone well.
For sure. Avatar, watch
any movie.
Literally any movie. Okay, so I will tell you that they can go on land for a little while. Did you ever watch the Nickelodeon show H2O?
Yes. But I don't remember
What was the main plot though? That what made them turn into mermaids?
Was it just like getting splashed with water?
Literally any condensation, anything, moisture, whatsoever. That is what happens to these motherfuckers. Okay.
Oh, sure.
So if they get at all wet, they turn into like the tail version. Okay.
Okay. So there we could be in and out of tail version.
Yes. But what's going to come up later is we can't identify how long they can exist in one or the other. Okay.
Sure. Okay. That's fine.
So they're also reworking their brains so they don't have any original thoughts, which is upsetting to Denny because this is his friend Robert. And Mr. Not Benton is like, well, hopefully he'll stop understanding the English language soon. Yeah, that would be really nice, but he's almost there. Yeah. So Benton like dips out. Okay. Gone. Denny starts calling out to Robert and is like, Robert, it's me, Dennis. It's me, your friend.
Baby, it's me.
And like Denny, or sorry, Robert keeps looking at Denny like, oh, I kind of know you. But then he like goes back and swims a little bit. And then he comes back and he's like, I kind of know you. And then he like swims a little bit. And like Matthew's just standing there being like, do you know this guy?
What?
Excuse me? Do you know this man? And it isn't until Denny starts singing their song.
Siren call. Song. Yes. Siren song.
Siren song. Yes. That all of a sudden Robert starts having more recollection of him in his eyes.
Music has a way.
And he comes out of the fish tank and he dries off miraculously fast and he gets two legs and he comes over and with ultra human hands, he pulls, well, primate hands, I guess. He pulls the bars of the, you know, cell they're in and he breaks them free.
Mm-hmm.
And then Robert and Denny are hugging. They're like holding each other's faces, being like, oh my God, I miss you, girl.
I miss you so much.
Oh my gosh. And so then he's like, we got to get out of this place. So Robert uses his extra strength to like knock out the guards in really like funny ways. Like I have to imagine it'd be like almost like a cartoon, sure. You know, like
big punches.
Whipping around.
Wham. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And it's so unclear what happens next. I'm going to make it so as easy as I can, but I genuinely have no fucking clue how they got the fuck out of here. So they just grab some key cards that magically let them through every single door for some reason.
Well, eventually one's got to work. You just got to hold them all up really fast.
Yeah, but they only got one, so I don't really know, how they pick the right one.
They got the skeleton key card.
Yes, they're running through the halls and they're going down the stairways and they get out into the wilderness, but people are still following them. So they find something called a lava tube.
Oh
yeah. The natural thing. I think it's like a hole from what I can understand that goes down into a tunnel system.
Sure. If you say so.
Into a cave system. And so I want you to know that it was one paragraph that told us that they like made it through the cave system they've never seen before.
Sick.
Yeah.
They're smart.
And they made it out 7 miles away from the lighthouse. So they're like, now all we have to do is hike back to the lighthouse. And Matthew's like, I'm going to give you guys a moment. I'm going to go ahead and walk ahead.
Didn't even realize Matthew was still here.
Yeah.
Kind of Matthew thought we left him back in the caves.
Still with us. And Robert and sorry, I wrote down the wrong name here. I wrote Matthew, which is so clearly not correct because Matthew's not
Matthew
important.
Has left.
Yes. Robert and Denny are like trying to communicate with each other because obviously Robert can't speak. And so he's like kind of pointing and like making gestures. Robert's hands and feet are like really fucked up. For some reason, they're super scratched up and like burned.
Oh.
I'm not sure why. And he's like pointing. He's like pointing to his hands and stuff. And Denny's like, can we get you lotion? And Robert just keeps pointing to the ocean and he's like, sorry, I'm now doing a visual gesture on an audio medium. I'm like, so it's so clear that Robert is insinuating without words that he needs to go into the water and mm-hmm. that for some reason unknown to us, he cannot come back.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
So this makes Denny really sad, but he accepts it. They hug and with his like only words that he can create, he says, I love you, Denny. And I want you to know that's exactly how it is written. Okay.
Oh no.
And they kiss. Okay.
That's great.
And Robert turns and runs off and jumps off the cliff and dives gracefully into the tide below.
Wow. I hope it was deep.
Yes, because then Denny runs to the edge because he's like, oh my God, is he okay? And then he sees Robert in the water and Robert waves and blows a kiss to Denny before splashing his long red tail and disappearing. The end.
This is a real Free Willy moment for all of us.
No, it so is. So that is the end of our book.
Wow.
I wish I had more details. I wish I had more to explain to you. Unfortunately, I don't. At this time, I don't know. Do you want me to tell you the name or would you like to look at the name?
I want to look at it, but I have to put finishing details on my Furman because I was expecting more description than that.
Nope. We got none. And I was really hoping for a scene of Furman fucking, but well,
But it's beautiful that the romance was regular people romance.
No, that is so true. We did get like monster smut in an unexpected way.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm going to open the link.
And I want you to just immediately tell us what that title is.
Wow.
Yes. Tell us the title, please.
Okay. So welcome to Splash Squatch. A superior name to Furman. Is the first thing I'm going to say. And I'm assuming Chill Pimples is the series.
Yes, title. It is.
Okay.
And tell us what it looks like.
Yeah, it looks like a Goosebumps cover.
Yes, it does.
First interesting spooky smut. Hold on.
I'm going to let you know now because you can't see it on this version. But on my Kindle version, there's a little thing in the bottom corner that would typically be like the Scholastic logo.
Yeah.
And it says Fantastic instead of Scholastic.
Awesome. Well, let me get to describing. So, yeah, it's if you haven't seen what a Goosebumps book looks like, first of all, where have you been? And second of all, Google it because there's a lot of references then maybe you're not going to get. The border around it is deep, kind of like a bloody red. And there's a gray text box and it says Chill Pimples in like bloody spooky Goosebumps font by Witzlorp. And yeah, Witzlorp. Turns out that was the name the whole time. Mm-hmm. I assume the image that we're looking at is taking place, well, of course, is like in the kind of more laboratory space because there's a big tank and there's like what looks like big white lights and maybe some sort of steps or scaffolding to get into this tank. And then this is not really how I drew this. Our fur man, who is not a splash squatch, so I'm just going to say that right now, has truly the upper torso of a Sasquatch. And then I would say more fish in style. It's not really very red. And it looks more, it makes me think of sea bass more than it makes me think of anything else. But he's got like, he has like a mermaid tail. Mm-hmm. Like a scaly mermaid tail. It's just a Sasquatch with a scaly mermaid tail hanging out of a big water tank. And if you can read what it says in the little font on the tank, that would be cool because I know can't.
It says, he knows how to get tail. Just add water.
Which is interesting because I was kind of assuming the way that they procreate is in the leg form. Unless they just sort of fish style spray stuff on your butt.
You would be surprised. There are many forms. I want to read to you some of the other titles and pray that you forget them in case I want to use them in the future.
Okay.
First of all, Witzlorp has also written Cawk, C-A-W-K, and the cover looks like Jaws, but instead of a shark, it's a penis. Coming out of the water. Like it's good. The Jaws poster, right? Yeah,
but a dick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's another Chill Pimples, which is Asquatch. Okay. And then there's a Are You There, God? I thought I heard Cody masturbating, but it was just my grandpa stirring a pot of shells and cheese. That is the entire
not even a smut book, just a hilarious misunderstanding.
And then another Chills Pimples. We've got Whole Foods. H O L E.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah. We've got Dicked instead of Wicked. Yeah.
Great.
The Pole Express. Wit, you have really outdone yourself.
This is a 5 out of 5 cover. It's beautiful.
No, I love this cover so much. So much. Let's go through our grading scale. First of all, we're going to discuss diversity. I love the gay representation. I love that everybody was gay. Other than we don't know about not Benton, but we don't know his sexuality. And look, we're all into ass play in this book, apparently.
Yes,
everyone's into it. And again, we're just going to make assumptions that everyone got consent before they participated. Otherwise, plot. What plot. Is our,
I mean,
I think it's a five.
Yeah, it's loaded. It's a five plot for sure.
It's There's got so a lot of there. Holes, but I will allow it. Smut, I'm going to go three because even though there was one smut scene, it was very open door. It was very descriptive. It was very sweet. I wouldn't say it was like, again, anything like unexpected. It wasn't like some of our other books, but yes, I enjoyed it still. What are you going to give it?
I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Okay, great. The cover of five. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean
five. Five, five, five.
Instant five.
Okay. And then I'm going to give us our final ratings, if I can do so. I am at an 86. Hold on, you're holding up. I'm multitasking. I'm at an 86, and you are at a 90. That's an A. That's great. Oh my gosh. Okay, whatever you're showing me is slightly blurred because of your background, my friend.
Yeah, you have to just kind of see through the blurs.
No, I think you did a fairly decent job. I think you did a, yeah, it kind of looks like a Santa face from what I've seen, but
I think you'll find it's a little more atypical monkey in the best way that I could draw one, which was not very well. And then there is a question mark over where genitalia might be because instructions very unclear, and that's fine.
You know what? Furmen, like, they deserve privacy too.
Yeah,
you know, it's not my business. Their own discretion. Whatever's in your pants is not my business.
This from the podcast who has explicitly been like, please always describe the junk to us or we'll be grumpy.
Yeah. So Wit, if you're listening, we loved, but we do want to understand at least what form they're in when they procreate.
Or if that was just a hilarious misunderstanding.
Is it? Yes, that would be very hilarious if it was. Is it also a mammal situation? Are we laying eggs?
Because that's an interesting method I hadn't considered before. For sure. You know?
And then they could be like seahorses where the men can get pregnant. You know what I mean? Like,
and that's a fun twist.
We could have so many options. Okay, so what is your Sesma moment from the book?
Really the whole last 10 pages.
No. As soon as we went back to present day, it just ran.
It got wild. Yeah. I wish desperately that we knew why we had to let go of Robert Big Willie style is
Big Willie.
Free Willie style out into the water, never to be seen again.
Is it because he's been locked up for 15 years? I mean, maybe he's like, I have trauma I need to go work through first.
It could just be the limits of the time that he can be above water, maybe.
My say smut moment on top of the butt comment, which is so funny, is probably the whole government, like the whole thing of like the government
conspiracy,
like stepping in. I was so waiting for like them to see the animal like in the ocean or like, and then like we're just in a lab, and then for him to be like, oh yeah, Robert is here with us, and you're like, where? And he's like,
is the robber in the room?
Is the robber in the room with us? It was kind of, and then like the lava hole. I know that people are going to be like, there are things such as lava holes. I'm sorry, I'm from the Midwest and never heard of this before, but like we just assumed that we knew where the lava hole went, and then we knew our way around this ghost cave system that they called it.
No one truly knows how deep the lava hole goes. Okay, Sarah.
Oh, so. I would say, yeah, if we could just get clarity on the last 10 pages, or, hey, sequel. Maybe Asquatch is a sequel. I don't think it is. But wouldn't that be funny?
I mean, I'm here for it, except I'm also simultaneously forgetting that it's called that in case you want to bring it up later.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us. You can find us, if you so choose, on TikTok or Instagram at SaySmutPodcast. Additionally, we'd love to hear your book recommendations. Send those our way via email at SaySmutPodcast@gmail.com. Also, pop us a rating or review. You know? Yeah. You say, well, I enjoyed, you know, Splash Squash. I enjoyed hearing about Splash Squash and all the mystical creatures that could be Splash Squash. And the Furman. So you say, hey, I want to give 10 out of 10s all around, or 5 out of 5. I think we have a 5-star rating. So 5 out of 5, 10 out of 10s. And with all of that said, if your friend goes missing, report all the information.
Oh, always do that.
Report it all. No matter how crazy you are.
Don't forget to take your special friend mixtape to work with your favorite siren song. That's important. You never know when you're going to have time to get busy.
Yeah, memorize the words in case they lose their wits.
Yeah, and it's the only way you can communicate back to each other and like really reach back in to find the true person inside.
That true person inside.
So do all that.
Stay smutty. Bye-bye.